How does one know when sex is telling the truth? I'm Bruce Sophia, here to tell you about my latest powerful pocket-sized book, Love, Lust, and Lies. In this book, we explore what truly makes for meaningful and lasting relationships. Pre-order your copy today and receive 29% off the retail price. Call 1-855-455-7728 or visit hijacklife.com.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
The sins of the parents do not have to visit their children to the third and fourth generation. If their children will choose to, as that commandment says, to walk in God's commands and love Him, rather than to be bent towards their father's wickedness.
It's the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
Has it ever made sense to you? Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments. And this verse finds its place in one of the first five commandments, which is dealing with man's relationship to God. The second five deal with man's relationship to man. And let's read it in its context, verses 5 and 6. Well, let's begin with verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But showing love to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. The setting is that we are not to make any graven images. We're not to have any other idols besides God. No other. And then he adds to this a command. This is dealing with our relationship with God. Says no idols, no graven images, then he adds a command to it. And he says that the command is that if we're disobedient to this, I will punish those who hate me up to the third and fourth generation. But those who love me and keep my commandments, I will show love to. And if we look at this verse in light of the context of Deuteronomy 24:16, which said that the father could not be punished for his son's sins, and his son could not be punished for his father's sins, then we must read this in a different light. We must understand it in a different light. And therefore you can't say, oh, isn't it a shame that that little boy or girl is going to pay or be punished for their parents' sin? Because in actuality, that's not what it reads. And in context with our scripture reading this morning, we see that. Because it says that I will punish those up to the third and fourth generation who do what? Who hate me. Not those who love me. Not those who seek my ways. Not those who want to worship me. But those who choose to go their own way, set up their own idols, do their own thing. They are the ones that I will visit. And the word iniquity, by the way, if you have an NIV, it uses the word sin. You have a New American Standard, not sure what it uses, but if you have a King James, it uses the word iniquity. And in the Hebrew, that word means to be bent or crooked. It means to be out of course. It signifies not merely that which is wrong, but the tendency to do wrong. The tendency to do wrong. And this is the key to understanding the whole passage, is that these people whom the Lord visits to the third and fourth generation, they have chosen to worship their own God, to do their own thing, and their iniquity is that they choose in their own free will to do wrongly. You see, behavior is learned, is it not? First it's observed, we see it. Then it's accepted. And then it's practiced. And the result is that the sins of the parents have visited their children. Because their children have observed, their children have accepted, and now their children practice. But if their children choose to love rather than to hate the ways of God, they receive His mercy rather than His curse. I remember while I was teaching at the church, we had an academy at Mount Pleasant. And I taught first grade through eighth grade, which is what the academy covered, art. And we had a fifth and sixth grade class that was really a winner. We had a couple boys in that class that you had to just physically take by the shoulders and make them behave. And I didn't realize it, but all of a sudden, it was towards the end of the year, sitting in my chair, and I'd given them an assignment, and I'm watching them. And I could not believe the behavior. I mean, they'd walk by somebody's painting with their brush and go right across. You know how kids are. Like you don't see them. Nice big line. Take the paint and fling it. They were just having a good old time. And all of a sudden, I recognized something. The behavior had become decadent. I could not believe. In the beginning of the year, I mean, I wouldn't have put up with that for 10 seconds. First of all, they wouldn't even thought about doing it. And what happened was, these two or three students in this class, their wickedness was observed. It became accepted behavior. And because I was only in there once a week, and they had a teacher that was very lenient. And by allowing those children to get away with it, it just began to penetrate every single person in the class. It spread like a disease. And all of a sudden, that was it. I just stood up and did what I had to do. And I said, everyone for next week, there's not a single student that is excused. It's going to have detention for 1 hour. We will not speak. You will not move. You will not write. You will not do a single thing but sit there for one solid hour. And some would, and I remember good students. Student would never think of elbowing their neighbor, smacking them in the back of the head when they walk by. We're doing it. What am I saying? Bent towards wickedness. That's our heart automatically. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. That behavior is learned. And some of the students would say, well, I didn't deserve it. Oh, yes, they did. You know why they deserved it? They put their approval on it. Because in the beginning of the year, they would have never put their approval on it. They would have never accepted it. And now they accepted it and became a part of it. And that's what happens. And the result is that the parents' sin has visited the children. And the principle is in Galatians 6:7. It says, be not deceived. You can jot it down, but don't turn to it because of time. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It was the first principle we learned in Genesis chapter 1, that if you plant a seed of corn, it produces a corn. Plant human seed, you get human beings. You don't get apes. You plant apes, you get apes. You don't get human beings. It's the principle of Scripture. And here it is too. You plant sin, you allow your children to observe sin, and outside of the mercy of God, outside of the fact that they have a heart towards God and not bent towards wickedness, in most cases, they will repeat their parents' sins. That's right. That's what it's saying, that it will actually visit to the third or fourth generation. Job says, those who sow trouble harvest it. And I want you to think about it for a moment. And if you come from a home like this, I'm not putting any, I don't mean to be negative or I don't mean to be condemning. I just want us to look at the facts. Where there's alcoholism in a home, where there's divorce in a home, where there's arguing in a home, where there's complaining in a home, you'll usually find that in the home of the children, that home too is affected by alcoholism, by divorce, by arguing, by complaining. But usually if there's a home where there's no alcohol, you find an alcoholic problem, you find the children's home without an alcoholic problem. You find a home where it's not bothered by a critical attitude and by complaining, and you find it in the children's home. There's not an attitude of complaining. The behavior has been learned. But there are exceptions, and that passage tells us so, that those whose heart is bent towards God, those whose hearts will align themselves towards God, God will show His love. Do you know that that evangelist, James Robinson, his mother was a prostitute and father was an alcoholic. He aligned himself with the last half of that verse, not the first half. Do you know that Dr. Jack Hiles, who has one of the largest churches in the world, probably this morning he has 20,000 people in his church, said, I couldn't wait for the day my daddy would come home and play ball with me. His daddy was an alcoholic. He said, when my daddy came home, he never played ball with me. But today, he pastors one of the largest churches in the world. Saves literally hundreds and hundreds of people every year. The sins of the parents do not have to visit their children to the third and fourth generation. If their children will choose to, as that commandment says, to walk in God's commands and love Him rather than to be bent towards their father's wickedness. Now I'm going to conclude with this thought. See, Canaan chose on his own free will to follow in his father's footsteps. In fact, his father who initiated the sin, it was Canaan who acted it out. And he influenced the whole nation. But from the line of Shem comes all future revelation. And from the line of Shem comes our Messiah. That's the difference. And the question to us this morning is, to whom do you want to align yourself with? Do you want to align yourself with those who are bent towards wickedness and choose to go wrongly? Or do you want to align yourself like Japheth did with his brother Shem to do righteously? You know what happened to Japheth because he chose to follow the right path, his brother Shem. He was protected by his brother's righteousness forever. Do you remember Elisha? Elijah kept saying, "Go back, Elisha." He said, "Never. I'll stay beside you till you go into the heavens." And he did. And you remember Jacob when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He said, "I'm not letting you go until you bless me." And though Jacob was a deceiver, and though there was sin in his life, in his heart, he knew that if he aligned himself with righteousness, he was on the right path. And this morning, you can do that. You can choose righteousness rather than evil. You can choose to align yourself with God rather than the enemy. And the result is his mercy and his blessing.
Are you saved? Not sure? Well, we have designed a book to help you with your new decision to receive Christ. Those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce today, we would love to send you an ABC pamphlet and a free guidebook entitled "What Now?" Just call us at 1-800-CHANGE. That's 1-800-242-6433. Change by the Word is a listener-supported radio ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus. We constantly hear from not only those listening in the United States, but from 70 nations all around the world. That only happens through the generous gifts of our Change by the Word partners. We affectionately call good saints. Those of you who have been blessed by Change by the Word believe its message is worth sharing. Consider partnering with Change by the Word. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW on the top toolbar, or simply call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433. And join our Good Sam team. Our prayer is to see 260 new Good Sams each year. Change by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Well, my friend, we live in this world. And we live in this world today, and I think more people probably understand a little bit more about heaven. And unfortunately, Bruce, they don't really understand the full effects of hell.
Well, that's because nobody writes books on hell.
Seems like it's no longer talked about.
You know, it's all about heaven, people's experience with heaven, people going to heaven, people having glimpses of heaven.
Yeah, I'll give you all the things that make you click your heels and run out of church feeling like you're Superman.
Hey, when my grandmother pastored, she was a holiness preacher. When she would give you more illustrations than you would ever want to hear about people on their deathbed, seeing snakes pulling them into hell, demons. You know, today we drug them.
Right.
We make sure that people don't have those kind of things, and we comfort their dying experience. Yeah. And they don't see those kind of things. But my grandmother, whatever hair you've got left on your head, it would stand up when she, the illustrations, the stories she would tell you. Two things come to my mind the moment I hear the word hell. Well, I should say three. One is my grandmother's stories. Two is my nephew, who's sitting at Thomas Road Baptist Church. He's going to college at Liberty. And this kid gets up, and he's got sort of long hair, and he doesn't quite fit the image of that, you know, fundamentalist Baptist circles in those days. And he gets up, and he's singing, and this guy next to my nephew goes, "What the hell is this?" with that southern accent, or that, I should say. "What the hell is that?" And he says, everybody just splits around him. That comes to my mind. Nobody could tell a story like my nephew, Jason. He's a trip. And then the third is that gorgeous melody by John Lennon. "Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us. Only sky." Now, we know what he was saying. If we didn't have all this conflict in the world, we'd have peace. But we're never going to have peace.
Not till Jesus comes back.
No. Not till the Prince of Peace rules. You know, we've got a pretty good shot at it if peace lived in the hearts of every man.
Yeah.
but then there's the flesh. So right. I think that's a that's certainly idealistic. It's not practical, and it's not realistic. But those come to my mind. But there is a real hell.
Yes.
You know, and when the guy he says, "What the hell is this?" and everybody's laughing, it's not a funny matter.
Right.
And it's not a funny matter to dismiss what it is, because hell is for real. And that's what we discuss on this tape. Hell, is it for real? What is it that's for real? Who's it for? Very interesting question. And thirdly, is it just? So we're going to answer all these questions. I should say all those questions relational to hell. What is it? Is it for real? It's physics, it's, you know, it's composition. Who's it for? And is it just? So we'll explore it biblically, and we'll see that it is indeed a real place. It's for real people, and it is just.
To order this practical teaching series, Hell, Is It For Real?, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, or visit us on the web at www.cbtw.org. Click on Books and Resources and you'll find several offers, including this timely series, Hell, Is It For Real? Truly, this is one subject that you will want to know all the answers about before it's too late. From all of us at Changed by the Word, we love you and thank you. May the Lord bless and keep you as daily we are changed by the Word.
Recently, the Lord impressed upon Pastor Bruce's heart to say a short but effective prayer specifically for the next day's Changed by the Word radio and TV programs, just before going to bed. This experience has given birth to Angels for Airways. Many of us, I for one, have joined him, and the results have been decidedly noticeable. C.H. Spurgeon said it best when he stated that short prayers are long enough, citing the Apostle Peter's prayer in Matthew 14:30, "Lord, save me." Think if there were hundreds, even thousands, doing the same thing every night, saying a short prayer asking the Lord to touch people's hearts as they listened or watched Changed by the Word. Wow, indeed, lives would be changed by the Word. Amazing how a short, simple prayer at night can change a life for eternity. We would love for you to join Angels for Airways. There are no obligations other than a commitment to say a short prayer for the next day's Changed by the Word broadcast.
This is Pastor Bruce. Now, there will be some nights when you'll forget, because I do. And that's why we're offering you an Angels for Airways business card magnet and a full-size mouse pad. You could put that somewhere where you see it before you go to bed. That'll help you remember to say a short prayer. And remember, short prayers are long enough.
Joining Angels for Airways is as simple as going to our website, cbtw.org, or calling our toll-free number 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433.
With today's Marriage Point, here's Pastor Dewey.
When it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation, let's face it, some of us enjoy our misery. It's familiar to us and very comfortable. Therefore, we do not want to give up that which brings devastation into our lives and impedes God's movement in our marriage. I need to address my own character defects and deficiencies and not be consumed by the deficiencies and defects of my spouse. I must be willing to ask the hard questions. Where am I looking for the healing of my marriage? What am I still clinging on to? We pray, God save me from my temper tantrums, but are not willing to be self-controlled. We pray, God save me from my self-centeredness, but we are not willing to be God-centered. We pray, God save me from my unforgiving attitude, but are not willing to offer it. God, please help us to change our attitudes and embrace reconciliation with an action of faith, love, and forgiveness.
Marriage Point is a ministry of the Gloucester County Community Church, serving southern New Jersey and the greater Philadelphia area. For more information, call 856-582-0222 or visit gcccpray.com.